Having spent a disproportionate amount of time in our own homes this year, many of us have reconsidered our living space. Some found room for improvement or areas that were lacking in their living space, but some felt overcrowded in their home, wanting to cull the unnecessary possessions they've collected over time and to simply have what they need. Jordan Matthews from Matthews Architects joins us now to discuss. Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. So this does seem like an idea that was quite prevalent pre-pandemic, but what are some of the benefits of living more minimally?
One of them is the mental headspace that comes with it. Minimalism is just a tool to think about what really matters to you. And you don't need to do that by throwing out everything that doesn't matter to you. It's really just a way of finding the things that you can recognize to say this does matter. There's also an aspect of style to this. And this is kind of the where it touches on the profession of design. Because usually designers, myself included, hate the idea of actually selling our skills based on the idea that we're able to deliver style. But fundamentally, that's a big part of it. And minimalism itself is a style. It's a style that actually is now, I'm going to stretch the truth here a little bit and say that architecture led the way 120 years ago in, you know, clean lined, sort of stripped back spaces with no ornamentation. And it's kind of nice to see 120 years later, the idea of people actually using that as a philosophy of life of, maybe I don't want to keep all my books in hard copy. Maybe it's time to get rid of the CDs and I'll just go with a digital device. And maybe I don't need 27 cushions on the bed that I have to clear off before I go to sleep. It sort of evolved from a statement about what matters to us to a philosophy about how to actually figure out what matters to us.
And what do you see as the basic modern necessities?
Well, it's probably changed a lot now, because as much as I know I have caught myself saying plenty of times that I missed the era before I carried a mobile phone with me every day of the week, I'm not going to give it up. So I think I remember reading a statistic about the things that people feared losing the most, and at the top of the list by a long shot was the mobile phone. Whereas if you wind the clock back 10 years, it was probably your wallet, because of just the annoyance of, well, I've lost money, now I don't have an ID, and I probably have some sort of bank cards that are hard to replace. It was the sheer inconvenience of it. But if you really press people harder, it's probably things that have sentimental value, not so much financial value. So the idea of losing an engagement ring or a wedding ring or something that was connected to an event that you couldn't give up. And I think that's really the task of movements like minimalism in terms of a lifestyle brand, that you're basically looking at object by object and trying to figure out, does this actually mean something to me still? It's not an easy question. But I think the things that mean a lot to me are the things that I acquired slowly, thought a lot about, and didn't necessarily plan to have them, like things people gave me. And it might be something as simple as a bowl. But it's amazing what you can actually find joy in your life. The point of minimalism, though, is not, it's not about getting back to a Spartan philosophy of I want nothing. It's not about the freedom of desire. You know, it's not quite that Buddhist. But it is about trying to recognize what you do care about.
So I know during the pandemic, I did a big cull during lockdown, went through a lot of things and looked at things, went, this is, you know, and it was quite freeing to clear up space and to not be over-encumbered by so many things. What do you think is the mental impact of having a cleaner, clearer living space filled with, you know, things that you've sort of thoughtfully considered and curated?
Yep. You hit on something actually really important there, which is the space itself. That sometimes the free open space or the uncluttered desktop or the empty tabletop or just the empty space in the room where there used to be a thing, a chair that you haven't sat on in 5 years, the space itself has mental value. It has sort of mental health merits, which is why a lot of the exercise that goes into concept design for architects has to do with space planning. We don't really design the room and then eventually somewhere down the track you populate it. You actually think about the use of the room first. So every design of a house really starts with the furniture and then you work back from that to actually figure out, well, what's the house I need to contain the pattern of life that occurs within. And the pattern of life is just as much expressed by the furniture as it is by the refrigerator. So I think there's something important about actually looking at the space that is created when you remove something and thinking about, well, do I just need a better something to fill that space again, or should I leave the space? Is the space itself enjoyable? You know, like how many different chairs do you have in your home or this studio? Like the idea of having one good thing versus, you know, many average broken things, it's not necessarily conservationist. You know, conservationists would say, well, don't throw any of them out. They're all still good. You know, preserve what is still working because everything has embodied energy, you know, even something that you don't use very often. So to throw anything out is wasteful. So this is, it sounds like it's akin to anti-consumerism, and in the very long term, that is a kind of environmentalist stance of let's not consume more, let's not build up more clutter. But you got to weigh that up against the idea of, well, if you're throwing things out, where are they going? And if you're throwing something out, how long before you decide, actually, I did need something like that, and then you're replacing it again? So I guess auditioning is a good step. When you decluttered, and did you first quarantine the stuff that you're going to throw out, set it aside first?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it all went into a box. A lot of it was planned to go to charity shops, to salvos and the like, when that was a possibility again. And yeah, you know, it is important to take that space. It wasn't just here's a bin bag and it's gone, because I have that fear that the next day, yeah, oh, this cable that I haven't used in 5 years, I'll never need that again, and then the next day something will break and I'll need that cable again. But
yeah, it'd be a very different process if, you know, you hired a wood chipper and it sits in your front yard, and every time you decide you don't want something, you throw it in the wood chipper and it's gone. No taking that back. I think most people go through quite a healthy process as part of the saying goodbye process to your things, of first remove it from where it usually is, set it aside usually in a bag or something, and give yourself just a moment to be sure about it. It's the sort of the mental preparation that goes with it. And stylistically, I think there's an important aspect to that too, in that you can't go from one style to another style as a jump. Nobody does that in their wardrobe. And anybody who does that in their wardrobe probably finds that it's hard to actually get it to stick. Style is something that has to evolve. And a life philosophy is expressed through a style. So that philosophy of, you know, maybe I want less stuff in my life is expressed through your wardrobe. It's expressed through your haircut, especially my haircut. For those of you listening at home, I actually shave my head. So it's a minimalist haircut. But that idea that you express your personal ideology through stylistic decisions actually makes it more important to actually recognize style. You know, style is not just the abstract expression of, oh, I think that looks good. It's a statement about yourself. And therefore, it's kind of interesting to see that when we talk about style, we almost, in fact, far too often, we just trivialize it as something that, oh, I just, you know, I like this style, or I grew up in the 80s, so I like fluorescent colors, or without actually thinking, what are you actually saying about yourself? So your stylistic decisions, expressing your ideology, can have a lot to do with your decisions about what do you keep, what do you not keep, what do you clutter, and therefore, you know, do you feel a bit overwhelmed by your things? Do they own you now?
And if anyone is wondering, there's 7 chairs in the studio here, and 3 people. Gerald, as always, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Always a pleasure. Only 2 of the chairs match, but